Well, happy Easter week to everybody. Thanks for joining us. I know we're doing 5 days together this Easter week, just looking at the famous last messages Jesus had to tell his followers before he took the cross. The most important things on his heart then, I bet, would be the most important things on his heart now. If he could sit with you and I, his current disciples, and go, this is what it means to follow. So if you didn't catch up on Monday and Tuesday, you should do it before you watch this Wednesday. All these chapters, these verses are going together. We're in Mark 9 and 10, because in chapter 11, Jesus rides into Jerusalem. From that point on, oh, Easter's going to take off. This is what he wants them to know before he gets them. In the end of chapter 9 and beginning of chapter 10, we have Jesus doing some teaching, some miracles. The rich young ruler comes in, and now he needs to take his disciples to the side one more time. And we're in chapter 10, verse 32. They were on their way up to Jerusalem with Jesus leading the way, and the disciples were astonished, while those who followed were afraid. Isn't this good? Those aren't just setting up the scene. So much is just right there. On the way to his death, Jesus is leading the way. They don't have to drag him there. He's not begrudgingly in the back of the pack somewhere. He's not being carried by people there. He is leading the way to the cross. Why? Because the cross is the only way to get to you. Jesus is leading the way to Easter for you and for me. The disciples are astonished. I can't believe this is the plan of the Son of God. I can't believe we have a God that would suffer. For what? Why? They don't get it. And the rest of the crowd is what? Terrified. We covered that on Monday. If you don't know why the crowd is terrified, go back and watch Monday. Yep. If you kill the leader, what's going to happen to you? We all want to be a Christian for the blessing, but if we really counted the cost, that was Monday. And Jesus once again understands what's going on in the group, the feelings of astonishment and fear. And again, he took the 12 aside and he told them what was going to happen to him. Verse 33, this time, more detail than they've ever heard. We're going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests, the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death, hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him, spit on him, flog him, and kill him. 3 days later, he will rise again. Guys, this isn't an easy death. This is torture. Let me tell you who's going to punish me. Let me tell you how they're going to punish me. That was my alarm. Come back to it. I don't care. We're on a roll. We're still going. I'm supposed to be done and off to another appointment. I'm finishing this because the words are in red letters. And he gives them more about his death than he's ever given them before. And in the midst of that, here's what they do with him. This is unbelievable. This is unbelievable. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, come to him. Teacher, they said, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. What do you clowns want me to do for you? Jesus said. I inserted clowns. I shouldn't have done that. Clowns isn't in red letters. But you know he was thinking it. Really? I just gave you step by step how I'm going to be tortured and killed. And now you guys come up and go, hey, promise you do whatever we say. And by the way, just call me. Isn't that our prayers? God, thanks for dying on the cross. Thanks for raising again. Now, by the way, do whatever I say. I never say do whatever I say. I say, dear God, and I end it with amen. But what that means is, do whatever I say. What do you want me to do for you? And they replied, let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in glory. You don't know what you're asking, Jesus said. Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with? Oh, we can, they answered. Let one of us be number one and not one of us be number two. And Jesus goes, can you really partake of what I'm about to partake of? Baptism, can you really go under what I'm about to go under? Yes, we can. They have no clue what death means yet to themselves or to Jesus. All we want to know is, can we be number one and number two? Or number one and number two? We're brothers. We talked about this with Mom. We're good either way. There's 12 of us here jockeying for position. One, two. And Jesus has to bring them all together because he knows this is a disease in all of his disciples. When the 10 heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Not because they're like, that's unspiritual, because they're like, doggone it, they took 1 and 2. Now we're trying to get 3 through 11, because they all know Peter's got 12 spot locked up. Now we're trying to go 3 through 11. So Jesus called them all and said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become the greatest among you must become your servant. Whoever wants to be the first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Chris, Isn't this what we hit yesterday? Yes, but if Jesus has to tell his own disciples twice, how many times do you and I need to get it? He goes, guys, no matter how many times I say it, you're going to wrestle with greatness. You're going to wrestle with power and position. And once you have power and position, what do you do with power and position? That's right. You rule over people. You're the manager. You're the boss. You're the CEO. You're the CFO. You are the founder. You are the one in charge. He said, that's the Gentile world. Mine is, remember we talked about first today's, an upside down kingdom. Let me tell you what you do with power and position. You use it to serve others. I'm not talking the church. I'm talking the marketplace. I'm not talking for those of you in Sunday school anymore. I'm talking about your job site. I'm not talking about those of you that go, well, if I want to become a pastor or a missionary. No, this is simply a disciple of Christ. You use your title, husband, dad, wife, brother, sister, son, daughter, you use your title to serve. You use your title, manager, corporal, sergeant, colonel, you use your title to serve others. But Chris, in the world, he goes, that's what he said. The world doesn't work that way. My kingdom works that way. And then he ends all the arguments with simply saying, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. This time, he doesn't pick a toddler up in a room as an object lesson. He points at himself. Who has the title? Who has the position? Who has the power? And what have I done with it? And they're dumbfounded. Do you really want to be a Christian? Do you really want to be like Christ? Because on the way to the cross, this is what he's got to get into the heart of his disciples. Why? Because they are so much like you and I. We serve. We serve. And the more title and position you get, the more you use it to serve. That's being Christ-like, Christian. The one with the title, power, and position outserved Judas, who's sitting on his bench right now. Whew. We'll see you tomorrow on this Easter week.